It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hello, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I'm glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Tracy Bild. She's an Inc. magazine-winning business leader and speaker about how to grow a multi-million dollar consulting company and do it on just 24 hours a week. How about that? But before we dive into that conversation, I just want to tell you a story about it's interesting. You learn business lessons from other parts of your life. And sadly, I had to attend a memorial service recently for a dear friend of the family. And Ray really understood the importance of support and being part of a group. And it was a beautiful memorial because there was a large group of people, each one of whom was sharing their remembrance of him and how he had just been a wonderful positive influence in their lives. And one of the people who was there gave the analogy of a Peloton. It's a cycling term. It's P-E-L, how do you spell it? P-E-L-O-T-O-N. And what Dave took away, both from Ray's life, but also using this analogy of the Peloton, is that you get stronger and you go farther working as a team than you do as an individual. And that's something that our guest understood as well. So I dug into this a little bit. And if you've ever watched, for example, the Tour de France on television or another bike race, you'll see that teams often cycle in clumps or groups, and they call it a peloton. I'm sure the derivation is somewhere. It's from the French. I looked it up on Wikipedia. From the French, meaning a little ball or a platoon. It's like a bunch or a pack or a field. And it's essentially the main group of riders in a road bicycle race. And one of the reasons that they ride in, I'm going to call it clumps, although it's not the technical term, is that it really helps them save energy. Because it prevents the drag that you can experience if you're just alone on the road. You also see this with bird formations. They fly in a V because it helps them aerodynamically to all move forward together. So riding in a Peloton takes know-how, it takes fitness, and it takes general knowledge about how these work. And if you think about teams within a business, it also means that there needs to be a certain level of knowledge and know-how among the different team members for them to all be able to coordinate well together. But there's a great article called 10 Secrets for Riding in a Peloton by Michael Barry that I pulled up, and there are several that really do apply to business. One of the lessons is you want to watch for erratic riders, you know, riders who are dangerous. You want to steer clear of those. Riders who are not holding a straight line, who take their hands off the handlebars, whose bike isn't in good shape, or who isn't looking ahead is someone to steer away from. And when you think of it, well-functioning teams, while people may have different roles and they may come at it from different skill sets and different experience levels, they all need to be working together in the same direction. Another lesson is to look ahead. And whether you're the leader or you're in that front part of the pack, it's really important to keep your eyes on the road ahead of you. I mean, think about that when it comes to business. Keeping your eyes on the road ahead of you, not just the rider in front of you, but also keeping an eye out on the landscape. Are there corners? Are there potholes? Are there stones? Are there things that could create bumps or obstacles in the road that could be problematic for you? Another important thing about working in a Peloton is the importance of making allies. That's just as important in a Peloton as it is in a business. Thinking about how you can be respectful of other people in that group, how you might be able to take an adversary and turn them into an ally when you're able to help them achieve their goals as well. And that's where it was so interesting that Dave used that image of a Peloton and describing how Ray was so supportive of others in the group, how he really helped bring them along, was there to support, but was also there to lead as well. And that's why I'm really excited to have our special guest this week, because it's not just that she grew a multi-million dollar business and she didn't do it 24/7. She truly understood that in order to build a business that would be stronger and could take her farther, she needed to find a way to work as a team and develop a team, not just do it as an individual. So in this interview, Tracy Bild explains how she grew her company well into seven figures and did it on 24 hours a week so that she could have time to spend with her young daughter. So a little bit about Tracy. She's spent two decades speaking to over 250,000 women in some of the most well-known organizations across the nation, while she's building a multi-million dollar healthcare consulting firm of her own that just happened to land on Inc. magazine's fastest growing companies list for 2013. She's also the founder of the Get Your Girl Back movement, and you'll hear a little bit about that, that it's very easy to get thrown into your business and lose the joy and really start to get burnt out. And that movement has been featured in media ranging from the Today Show to Sunrise Australia to print magazines like Real Simple, Parents, and Success. Tracy is determined to help both women and men learn to put themselves on the list and create a life that is balanced, fulfilling, and truly happy. And we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough.
Tracy, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
And, you know, when I heard and when we spoke about your building a multi-million dollar company on just 24 hours a week, I said, my God, I have got to know how to do that. And I'm sure a lot of people want to know that too. So, you know, as you know, this podcast is focused on helping service business owners find ways to make their business not all about them. So what were the most important shifts you had to make in your consulting business so that this could happen and you could lay that foundation?
Sure. Well, first, I had to prioritize. So I'm a believer that when you have a business, your life integrates very closely to your business. So I had to really get clear about my priorities, both personally, professionally, and mesh them in a way that would help me to get kind of to where it was I was trying to go. So I prioritized my life. And for me, I was pregnant and going to be having my first child. And at that time, I was working up to 60 hours a week traveling up to 20 days a month, and I knew that that was not going to work. So I had to readjust and shift my priorities. And so basically, I shut down my office, brought my business back home, and went from working that many hours to 24, because I was working 3 days a week. And when I worked, my mom had my daughter, and then, you know, vice versa. So it was scary, but I knew that that's what I wanted. The second thing, though, is I had to get really clear. So what did I want? Well, I knew that I did not want my business to go backwards. I actually wanted to grow it. And so I thought, okay, I have to work smart, not hard. I have to work less and make more than I've ever made. I've always taught that, you know, through my consulting business to my clients and students and such. But, like, this was the ultimate test with myself to prove
sure.
that it worked in a way that was beyond my wildest imagination. And you know, the third thing is I had to really master time management. You can't just say, I want to do this, right? I had to figure out how. And so I hired a coach who worked with me very diligently to craft a time management system that worked for my life and allowed me to get done in 24 hours what I typically would have done in 60. And it took me about a year to really master that, but I've used it for the past 12 years consistently to stay and maintain on that 24-hour schedule and actually explode my business.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And how did that feel? I mean, that sense of if I'm not working 60 hours a week and I cut that back by more than half, I'm going to lose half my business. How did you overcome that fear and concern?
Well, what I learned is that time is an illusion. So if we were given 2 to 3 more hours a week, you and I both know we'd use every minute of those hours. So for me, what I had to understand, it's not how long and how hard we work, it's how smart we work. It's what we do with our time. If I choose to sit here and spend 2 hours in Outlook checking my email, then that's my choice. Or I can jump in there, 2 to 3 times a day max for 5 to 10 minutes, knock it out, get it done, and move on to what really matters. So I think that people feel they have to sit in their office, even when there's nothing to do. It's that form of self-punishment. And I broke out of that, and I started to understand that it's not that time isn't real, but, you know, we don't have to kill ourselves to be successful. We have to just know what it is that we have to do as the owners of our businesses, get it done, and delegate everything else. Unless you love to work 60, 70 hours a week.
Well, yeah, and that's a different issue entirely. So
yes.
As you were setting your priorities and mastering time management, what were some of, or how did you identify what I'll call the game changer items? You know, the things that absolutely should be on your calendar versus the things that really did not need to be on your calendar. What was that process like?
Sure. Well, first I had to do every Friday, I did a weekly wrap-up where I wrapped up my week, and then I planned the next week proactively. And so I had to literally look at what needs to move over to next week, what does every day look like, what's on this calendar that's not necessary for me to do, get rid of it, and only leave the things on that I had to do. And then at the end of every day, I would do a daily wrap-up, and I would do the same thing for the next day. And I know this sounds really, really simple, but the hardest part of this process was looking at the week ahead before it hit. Like, I could put it all on my calendar, print out each page, and have it in front of me, but then it took me a couple of months to understand. I had to look and really absorb what's coming ahead in this week and own it and be proactive and look at what's wasteful and what's not, what's really going to move my business forward, and get real about that. And so that was a study on time management. And then from that, I realized that I had to spend my time doing the things that only I can do, and then delegate literally everything else. And this requires a total release of ego and control. I mean, it was really hard, but, you know, if you really want to move forward, you'll do what's tough, and you'll learn to adapt to that. So I did that, and then, you know, for me, it was about sales and leadership. That's where I had to spend my time in order to generate the income that I wanted and to really train those top leaders. You know, I could hire a salesperson, but the reality is most of your service business people know, no one can probably sell their business like them because they're the founder. I mean, you have a small business, you still have to sell. So I was selling. And then, you know, as I started to grow my team, I spent my time on leadership. And for the small service providers, you know, like myself at the time, I hired virtual assistants for everything besides sales at that time and, say, speaking at the time and my direct coaching with my clients. And they literally worked by the minute. So it was awesome. If I only had 8 hours of work, that's all they got. If I had an hour and 25 minutes, that's what they billed me for. And I have one that I've used for 15 years, you know, that's still with me today.
Wow. Now, you touched on something really interesting, the issues around ego and control, and particularly for those of us who started a business because we thought we were geniuses and our bosses were idiots. We are the only ones who know certain things in our business. But what I'm hearing you say is that in order to really grow at some point, and even in the sales and leadership, you've got to find a way to duplicate yourself. So, you know, I asked, like, what am I, Xerox? It's not so easy. What was your process like? You know, yes, I can understand getting rid of some of the lower level tasks, but moving up into some of the higher level stuff, how do you get that out of your head and train others?
Well, I believe in business, you know, this is where a real breakthrough happens for people once they realize that you typically cannot grow unless you replicate yourself. And that's why a lot of businesses get stuck, right? They can only work to the point of time they have. And that's where I was. I was maxing out at about $500,000 in revenue a year, no matter how much. I mean, I couldn't work, actually. My calendar was full of coaching calls. I was speaking, you know. So I realized the only way I'm going to grow is if I get another me. And I was a professional speaker, still am, and did consulting. So I think anybody listening could understand that's pretty tough to duplicate yourself as a speaker because you are the brand. It's your face on the CDs and the books, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to really believe, listen, it's my system and my training they want, not me. They think they want me, but what they really want is the outcome of what they get from the mind, you know, that I have, from the information that I've produced. So it was tough. I had to let that ego go and just focus on empowering. So I displaced kind of my ego, because we all have it, like, well, I can do this, into, you know what, I'm going to change someone else's life. There's someone out there that wants to be a speaker, that wants to go in front of crowds, that wants to coach and train. I'm going to help develop this person and turn her into a machine and help her dreams come true. And so I got fixated on developing really amazing people that could serve the clients on my behalf. So it was a win-win all the way around. So I first trained someone to do my coaching, and it took time. So this doesn't happen overnight. I had this person sitting on coaching calls with me for months. Then I started to slowly let her talk. Then I slowly turned over the coaching calls until literally I pretty much filled up her schedule. And so now suddenly my schedule was full and her schedule was full. And then I thought, okay, so now let me turn over my speaking. And I remember when I went to the first seminar, I mean, I almost threw up watching somebody else train my stuff in the back of the room, because she was not polished. She didn't know what she was doing. She didn't know not to say And so, but I thought, I have to do this. So I, you know, had her do the whole day. She got through it. I critiqued and helped her. But then I just put her on the road, and I reduced, you know, I had a reduced fee for clients that hired her. I would tell them, you're going to get the content. It's not me. But I knew this person understood my systems because she'd used them successfully. And then with each seminar, she got better until she was doing up to 25, 30 events a year. So not only was I doing that many, now I had her doing that many. Plus speaking, you know, is at capacity, some 5 to 7 coaching calls a day, as well as myself. So I was able to double the size of my business.
Right. And just to jump back a little bit, because you, you know, it sounds in a way so easy when you talk about it, or sounds simple at least when you're talking about it. But I think one of the first obstacles, maybe you glossed over it just a little bit, is that ego and control issue. What was it like letting go of that? Or was it just that your priority was so, so, so clear that there really was no other option?
It was hard. So don't let me minimize it. To sit there and listen to somebody on a coaching call that doesn't really know what you know, advising a client. But what I realized was, you know what? She's good. She may not train it like me, but this is someone who used my material that's speaking from firsthand experience. So you want to find someone who really is bought into what it is you're doing, that can step into the company and have passion. So she was very passionate about it. And it wasn't like me. And I kind of realized now that I've had over 10 coaches that no one's going to be me. They're going to have a different way of explaining or teaching or delivering that service. But so long as they're passionate and they understand how to deliver it, there are going to be people that need that type of delivery. And your training or whatever it is you're doing or offering as a service is probably going to get better, because you're going to learn from the people who are coming on board and seeing it through different eyes. So it was hard. I had to invest a lot of time and training, a lot of, I call it faith, trust, and pixie dust. I had to swallow pride. We made mistakes. We did extra value-added calls and training when things weren't perfect, but we worked through it. And the thing was, because I filled up her schedule rather quickly, you all know, you know, it's the more you do things, the better you get. She got better faster and faster, ultimately became my head of training, you know, trained all of our other coaches. So, no, it wasn't easy, and it never will be.
Right. And when you're training leaders and you're saying, oh, yay, I can take some things off of my schedule. I, you know, maybe I don't have to be out there speaking quite as much or handling all of those coaching calls. What were some of the pitfalls that you ran into, maybe abdicating instead of delegating as you were growing your business? What were some of those?
Oh, my gosh. Probably my biggest lesson was to never check out of your business. So, you know, we doubled every year during the recession, like for 5 years straight. We doubled
wow,
the size
that's
of
amazing.
Our business. Yeah, and that was a conscious decision. I just bought my dream home. I'm like, I'm not going backwards when that recession hit. I'm going forward, and decided that's it. So I put full focus on sales, and, you know, by the time we had doubled year after year after year after year, and I had about 20 women working for me, which is a lot of just women. There was a lot of stress with all that growth, and I was exhausted. So I just sort of checked out. And I will tell you, at the end of the day, it's your business, your blood, sweat, and tears. It's your legacy. When I think of what it took me to get there, and reflect, it took a lot of, of that blood, sweat, and tears. But you can never, no matter how exhausted or stressed you are, step out of your business. And I would say that was probably one of the perils I made. And I went from having a cash cow business to a total loss in the matter of a year that was so extreme that, you know, it looked like there was embezzlement happening. And all that happened was I abandoned my captain, you know, helm at the ship.
Okay. I'm sorry, just to clarify, excuse me, when you're talking about checking out, what exactly does that mean? What does that look like? Because some people say, oh, my God, you mean I can't take an unplugged vacation? So when you say checked out, what do you mean?
I can give you two examples. So when I was fully checked in, I still went to Paris and lived there for a month. And my leaders ran my company, didn't have to work a day. It was amazing. They wanted proof to me, look, I can handle this. And they did. However, several years forward, I checked out, meaning I mentally shut down. I would maybe make a call to the leadership of my company once a week, but mentally I was done. I couldn't process anything. I didn't want anything to do with it. I was fried. So I wasn't really paying attention. I saw my bank account dwindling, but I did nothing about it. I saw things going wrong. I didn't respond. The best way I can describe it is I was in a straight jacket, and I couldn't move. I saw it. I knew it was happening, but I didn't care because I was so over it. And I know we all get to that point in our businesses. And I finally woke up when it got to an extreme, and it thanks to my husband, you know, saying, wake up, what are you doing? You've worked for this for 20 years, you know. So I like the straight jacket came off. I opened my eyes and I said, oh, my gosh, everything I worked for is going away. So I dived back in. And I realized, oh, my gosh, I love my business. You know, what did I let happen? I've learned sometimes we have to let ourselves just go through these phases as entrepreneurs and learn from them. And I've learned a ton.
Terrific. And so in terms of doing things differently, just can you describe a little more tactically, what's the difference between, for example, now if you were to take a step back or take, let's say, an unplugged vacation versus what you did last time, just, again, so that I'm clear about you know, what it was like living for that month in Paris and had, what did you do versus what did you do when you completely checked out?
Sure. Well, everybody needs to take vacations, right? Our staff does, and as owners, we definitely do. We want our businesses because they offer freedom. So first of all, everybody needs to have vacations on their schedule well in advance. And then the thing is, if you have strong leaders, they should be running their department or whatever it is they're doing anyways at top notch. And I'm a big believer that you should develop leaders who can do the job even better than you, which requires no ego. So you teach them what you know and you challenge them to learn more. So when you do go on vacation, you can set that expectation of what they're going to do. And honestly, you should be training them to do all this stuff anyway. So when you leave, you're not missing a beat. So that when someone goes on vacation, the only thing not happening is maybe the sales aren't happening that week. If they're writing blogs and things, the blogs won't happen that week. But the day-to-day business, the ultimate goal is that you're getting someone to run that day-to-day business. Clients don't really know you're on vacation, or if you are, they're fine because there's somebody behind you to handle that. So you're setting the expectation, you're leaving them with, you know, their accountabilities. And I always told my staff, you know, I want you guys to do better when I'm gone than when I'm here. Show me what you can do. So I made it fun for them.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
And one of the things that you touched on was you'd reached a point that you were so just done with your business that you had to check out, and it sounded like a really, really miserable time. And now, you know, you have a slightly different focus as well. In addition to having this multi-million-dollar business, you've also started your Getting Your Girl Back movement. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that fills a need and a void that you had just in running your business?
Sure. Well, one of the things I realized in reflecting on a box of love letters that I found in my closet that spanned 20 years, I literally before my eyes saw the loss of my girl, like through my writings, through my words. I went from being, you know, excited and passionate and fun and dreamy to the daily grind of picking up kids and going to a sporting event, making dinner. And I literally, like, saw the loss of that girl. And what happens is, as we grow in age, we get more responsibility. You know, we have all these dreams when we're in our early, you know, 20s or in college, and then we get married and we get a house and we have a mortgage and our careers take off, and then we have one kid, then two, and sometimes three kids, and all of a sudden we're buried in responsibility, and most women don't even realize that their girl is so deep and buried in stuff to do that they're not even giving her time anymore. So she kind of runs for the hills, and we're replaced by this serious grown-up woman who's anxious, stressed out, you know, very snappy. We don't want to be that way, but that's how a lot of women cope to survive. So Get Your Girl Back was created for me. I wanted to get back to that girl I was. And so what I found is I started integrating this into my business. I have worked with women for 20 years, and I realized, my gosh, we're so many of us are feeling like this, and we don't want to. So this message has resonated so much with women and helping them have so many breakthroughs in their life, whether it's in their business, their marriage, and their health, you know, learning to make time for themselves without feeling guilty. And I learning to laugh again and have fun and dance and put on music and be that girl they were before life stepped in and sort of buried her. So, yeah, so now I'm balancing both of these. So it's fun.
And are there aspects or techniques or things that you teach through Getting Your Girl Back that you are able to integrate into your business and that other small business owners can bring into their businesses as well, so that they are not only are they having fun, but their staff is as well?
Absolutely. You have to keep your focus on what it is you want. It's so easy to get bogged down in the day-to-day details and fear of making payroll, fear of getting that next sale, fear, fear, fear. When you have your girl back, you kind of operate from this place of, look, I'm alive, I'm healthy, I'm grateful. And every day is sort of an adventure. It's a state of mind. And so your focus is on what you want and what you can do. And so you're making time for play. You're at night when you're cooking, you're playing music and dancing in the kitchen instead of having the TV on and the drudge of the day and the news that's bringing you down. And so you can absolutely use this in your life. And I would say, not only do you have to get your girl back, but you have to fight to keep her. I've almost lost her several times over the last few years in trying to launch a book and a movement and run the other business and my leadership team. And so I've really come to understand, to get your girl back, you have to make a commitment to yourself that you want to live a delicious, juicy, fun, passionate life, and that you're willing to make time for yourself to get on the list. Like before this interview, I went and did yoga. You know, at 9:30, I got up early, I worked, I broke out to go to yoga, calm my mind, my spirit. But that's part of learning. We as women have to get on the list, and we have to learn to do it guilt-free because we matter too. And when we do that, we have more to give to our employees, to our business, to our clients, to our spouse, and to our children, and to the world. So no one does any good running around with their heads cut off.
No, that's true.
Really great state. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's been an incredible experience.
And does this work for men too?
Oh my gosh, absolutely. So for men, we just call it mojo. You know, it's really about getting your life back. I just always say, you know, I've never been a man, so I can't exactly relate. I know what women go through. But yes, I have a lot of men that are avid followers of our movement. And actually, my book that's coming out August 3rd, a lot of couples have read together in our pre-reading studies. They've literally laid in bed at night and read the book together. And I never even thought of that, but that's what we've seen happening. And it's improve their marriage and relationships because they understand better, especially the men, what's really going on with women, because we can be emotional, we can be intense, right? And we have so much on our plates that it helps them to understand that we definitely need that free night. You know, or we need to go in our garden. Help us. You know, so it's a great thing to do together.
Wonderful. And so just before we wrap, last thoughts on in terms of your journey and building your business and really finding a way in a wonderful way so that it's not so dependent on you and you're creating something that ultimately you can sell. Anything that you wish you had done differently or sooner, or just now that you are who you are, you might do things differently?
Sure. What would I have done differently? I mean, so many different things, but the biggest lesson I learned that it's not sexy is don't ever let anybody else manage your money. Like that, you know, and someone told me Oprah still signs her own checks. That was probably the biggest mistake I ever made in my business. And I would just say to watch your funds as you grow your business, and even when you think there's surplus beyond imagination. You keep watching every dollar. Don't let somebody else start writing your checks and managing your funds. And a lot of entrepreneurs have had to learn that the hard way. If I could go back, that's what I would have done differently. And I would not have 100% checked out like I did. I would have found a different way to cope, which probably would have been not ramping up as quickly. I was in such high growth mode for so long because I love a challenge. I grow companies for a living. Mm-hmm. I would have probably paced that a little bit better so that I wouldn't have crashed at the end of the race, so to speak.
Okay. But having crashed, is there a different kind of support system or support mechanism that you might put in place so that you don't check out in the same way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I'm in a mastermind group, which is amazing. They're very honest with me. They're playing at my level. These are all seven-figure business owners. So you need to be with people at your level who are very honest with you. They'll tell me when I'm driving and pushing too hard. They kind of alert me, and I get mad at first because I'm like, really, me? And then I realize, oh, I am. So you need to be in some kind of a support group. And for me, it's always been mastermind. And you don't want to be the smartest, most successful person in the group because you need people that you can look up to and strive to emulate in business who can pull you up. But you also want to have people in the group that you can teach. So it's a really great thing to have that. And then, you know, making that time for yourself. I mean, I do yoga 4 to 5 times a week. I've realized I'm in my 40s. I mean, I work out almost every day, not to look good. I'm not doing it anymore to get rid of the muffin top. I'm doing it because it's good for me spiritually, mentally, physically, and it's that time for me. So I would have done that more consistently because we give so much energy. We need to stop and go to a quiet place where the energy comes to us. Mm-hmm. I would have done that differently.
Yeah, that's a great point because, you know, talking to a colleague yesterday, we were saying that in order to carry the business, you have to be well and you have to be healthy. Because if you're not, then that's something
Absolutely.
Else that can also take you completely out of your business. Well, Tracy, thank you so much for your insights. Really delighted to have you here today and excited to hear how you built your million-dollar company on just 24 hours a week.
Oh, thank you. It's been wonderful talking to you.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.